Yep. Ready? And go.
And we're back.
We're back at it again.
Hi.
It's us again. Consecutive. We've done pretty well.
Dude, I'm since so our proud return. Of us.
Me too.
So proud of us.
Me too. We're so good.
How are you?
Oddly tired, but
yeah, it's December. It's the end of December, end of the year.
Yeah, and it's that weird, we're recording and then also posting this episode in that weird week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yes, we're just full of cheese and...
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing with ourselves.
Yeah.
So no one is productive or clear of mind at all during
right.
this week.
Yeah, I mean, what are we supposed to be doing?
Being in a vegetative state, I think.
Yeah.
For a full week. But look at us. We're working. We showed up
for you
guys. I
feel like
it's
like suspended animation. Like
yeah.
Frogs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah, that's pretty much. My brain's there.
Oh, yeah.
My brain is there. But for we're sure. still going to give you an episode, so.
We're back at it again.
So buckle
with
it up.
With an episode. Oh, for those of you who have been reaching out, I have a health update, a personal health update. I have an awesome team at Cleveland Clinic that figured out that I've been dealing with something called trigeminal neuralgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been what's been causing my really, really severe pain in my head and eye for the last 4 years.
It only took 4 years.
Yeah, just
to
4 years.
Find this.
No big deal.
No big deal.
But I am on a nerve medication now that is a life-changing medication.
She's a different person, guys.
Yeah, it's
which is awesome.
So I know that some of the listeners reached out and they were, you know, so sweet. And I can't tell you how much I, you know, appreciate that personally. But I am doing really well and I just feel like 2024 is going to be my year.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be our year.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Our energy is also going to increase hopefully as this episode goes on. So that's our very happy update. So if you didn't listen to the last Well, I guess it was two episodes ago,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, two episodes ago. Yeah,
Lizzie Borden part one.
Yeah, after we took a break, we kind of we wanted to let you guys know what was going on.
And Mindy's whole journey, so.
It's been, yeah.
She's been back on track.
It's been a lot, so.
We're happy to see you back or hear you back.
Man, it's nice to be feel pretty good.
Like a human.
Yeah.
You're like a person again.
Oh my God.
It's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Well, if you guys have never listened to us before, that was a strange intro for you, I'm sure. But this is Cookies and Crime.
And I'm Mindy.
And I'm Renee. And we just talk true crime and have snack time.
That's what we do. Hang out with us.
It's just what we do. And today's case is actually, so I picked it for a kind of a strange reason. I don't know if anyone else is going to see the thematic reasoning behind this. But if anyone, including yourself, Mindy, has seen The Man Who Invented Christmas...
I haven't seen that.
It's very good. I think it came out in 2020, maybe 2019.
Oh, so it's recent.
It's a pretty relatively new movie.
Oh, I didn't realize
movie.
That. I thought it was like an older one.
Yeah, no, it was on Prime for a long time. I don't know if it's still on Amazon Prime, but it is streaming somewhere. But it's basically about Charles Dickens and the, like, 6 weeks it took him to write A Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's cool.
And his whole, like... creative journey. If anyone is ever curious about the method of writing fiction, that's probably one of the most accurate depictions I have ever seen in film.
Well, you would know.
Yeah. Well, I was watching it the whole time, and there was like a guy I know watched it and was like, "Is he like schizophrenic or something?" I'm like, "No, that's just fiction, my friend," because he's like creating the characters that we know, but he doesn't know yet.
Right.
And it's like a really fascinating process. But anyway,
just a side note.
Watch that movie.
Well, also, if you like fiction and you like fantasy, if you look on our cookies site, there's also Renee writes books.
I do.
And they're really good.
Well, I have a murder one. If you want to read a murder book,
so just throwing that out there.
Very on brand. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do have a few books out.
Shameless
plug there. Well, once you're on our like landing page, you're kind of on the site already. So if you just explore around, you'll find multiple publications. But
worth the read though, guys. Aww. For real.
Thanks. A Cage of Tarred Feathers is probably the most Cookies and Crime-esque because it's a murder mystery. But anyway, so Charles Dickens, that movie and just A Christmas Carol in general put kind of the Victorian time period in the front of my mind most Christmas seasons.
Sure.
Like most
years. It's very Christmassy.
Yeah. So I was working on a completely different case for today's episode. And actually, Mindy was like, wait, aren't we doing this other one? And I said,
I thought we were doing the American Psycho guy.
Joke's on you. We will. Don't worry, guys. I did research that one, too. But while I was doing that one, I was like, wait a minute. There's this actually, like, kind of relative, related case that we should do this week.
I'm excited because I don't think I know this one.
So this is the case. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what this is the case of yet. I'm going to just tell the story. And yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Okay. So we're going to open. There's Boone Hare on my tablet
here.
Sorry.
It's inevitable.
He was a studio guest for a second. Then he went back upstairs. Anyway, we're going to start November 13th, 1849.
Okay. Well, so back in the day.
Back in the day. The gallows at Horsemonger Lane.
The gallows. Okay.
We're starting off strong with a hanging right now. London, England. We love a good hanging. It was surrounded by a crowd who had gathered to witness the hanging of two people, a man and a woman, for the crime of murder.
Ooh.
Among the crowd was novelist Charles Dickens, who later used this incident to inspire a notable character in one of his publications. Wait, we're going to circle back to that, though. Okay.
Wait, it's just a side note.
Yeah.
Before you get, into it. Like, the prospect of, public execution.
Crazy.
How bizarre.
So nuts.
Right?
It's really... Now, I previously have said this and can be quoted saying that it's absolutely, barbaric that people Bonkers. Get such thrill. But then look at us. We're talking crime. Okay, and we're morbidly awesome.
Yeah, think about it. If it was today.
Yeah.
Would you go?
Oh, I don't know. I think I think with today's level of, news reporting, if I had been following the case, I would absolutely be interested in going.
I'd be interested in knowing what's going on. That'd be a lot.
It would be hard to watch.
I feel like you and I are too empathetic. It would be.
I think it would depend on the person.
And
this sounds sexist. It would depend on the gender. I would be much quicker to be okay with seeing a man hanged.
Well, and if it's a child murderer.
Yeah.
You might be a little more gung ho.
If they ever caught JonBenet Ramsey's killer, right. I would pay. To see that person.
I mean, for real, though. Sometimes we need some old-fashioned justice.
It's true. And, yeah, this was, a pastime. They didn't even need to know the story back then.
It is crazy. People would, get their, bring their kids and their popcorn.
And their knitting. They would just sit and knit.
That is wild.
While people are getting hanged. And the French Revolution was exactly like this, too. It was, royal after royal after royal getting decapitated, and they're just sitting there watching, this is great.
But if you think about it, think about, MMA.
Yeah.
Biscuit just shared a video of this guy getting knocked out, and it is brutal.
Wait, isn't it fake?
No.
No?
MMA is real. Wrestling, WWE, is,
oh,
fake.
Oh, okay.
MMA is,
It's all
real.
The same to me.
It's, mixed martial arts. I know. But, this guy got knocked out, and it was brutal, and the crowd was going crazy.
Mm.
So, that.
See, I don't like that, because that's mindless. I don't know why this is different, but if I were to watch a hanging or a decapitation in a justice kind of setting.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that gets more complicated because it's are they even the
right
culprit? There's a lot more layers to it.
Sure.
But I feel like there's a reason to be there and a reason for that person to be killed.
Yeah.
Whereas MMA, it's they're willingly, they're just doing it.
They're fighting around the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man. You're right.
Entertainment has evolved so much. And at the same time, not actually that much at all.
But you know what's also really interesting? I'm sorry. I have totally devolved.
No, it's okay. Keep
going.
This is
going. What I do.
This is hyping up my energy and I'm awake now. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So keep going.
We still seek it out, but look at horror movies.
It's true.
We seek it out in a safe way.
Yeah.
You know?
Where we control it.
Exactly.
It's fiction.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
The humans.
Humans. We're a crazy bunch.
We're a crazy
we really
bunch.
Are. Yeah. Victorian.
Anyway,
humans. Back to
I
Victorian.
Digress.
Okay, so we're going to go a little further back in time. So instead of 1849, we're going to go backwards to 1846. Marie Dureau was a Swiss maid working in England for Lady Blanter at Stafford House in 1846. Lady Blanter was the daughter of the Duchess of Sutherland. So this is a royal household, essentially, a very aristocratic, rather, household.
Gotcha.
a very respectable position for Marie. She was exposed to the upper echelon of society. She developed expensive taste. Working class in those households were not really working class because they were kind of involved in upper class. Yeah, yeah. So even though they were
sure they got all the tea.
Exactly. And even and like they were like technically working, but they were paid way better than other maids. So they were able to live the high life. And at least compared to their counterparts in the poorer, like middle class and below households and the other occupations that were available at the time. Poverty back then also looked very different than in the modern world. I feel like homelessness and poverty is still not pretty.
No.
In any time period. It's not ideal.
No.
It's not comfortable. But back then, there was, like, even more disease. There was even more.
Sure.
Like,
for
it
sure.
was, like, it was grotesque. And...
Well, and, like, the like they didn't have, like, their medical...
Yeah.
Almost barbaric.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you think about some of those instruments and stuff.
And I feel like depending on what part of the world you're living in, things like food kitchens.
Sure.
Nowadays might be a little bit more readily available.
Yeah.
Because we can also spread awareness easier with our like modern technology. Once again, it's not easy being poor or homeless. But back then it looked like that a little more. And Marie was terrified of poverty. She was like, never, nope, definitely not going to do it. And based on, like, what I've seen in movies and books of this time period, like, I don't really blame her.
It's, oh, it would be rough.
Yeah, it's. I think it's important to keep that in mind for Marie. Her standard of living and also, like, the alternative, what that looked like and why she would be so afraid of it.
Yeah. So, it reminds me of, like, Rose's mom in Titanic.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to marry this rich man because we can't.
We can't be poor.
She said, what do you want me to be, a seamstress?
Gross.
Gross.
Disgusting.
How dare.
With thread and fabric? Just get out of
my
here.
My hands.
Ew. Get out of here. So, Marie, while she was out traveling with her employer, she meets a charming 50-year-old Irish customs officer in the London docks named Patrick O'Connor, the most Irish name you could probably probably have.
Yeah.
Side note, that's kind of not important back then, but as a 21st century woman looking at this story was kind of weird. She was 25.
Ooh.
He was 50. Granted, society looked different back then, as we said.
Made December romance.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It's a little less weird of an age gap back then, but I was like, okay. So she was like a hot 25-year-old.
Well, she was cutting it close, you know.
She was. She was almost. She another 6 months and she would have been off his list for sure. But Patrick, 50-year-old Patrick, actually, isn't Leo DiCaprio like 50s?
Yes, that's why, like, it's so.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
You are correct.
I know.
You're so right, Mindy.
Listen,
so right.
I know.
He was also, he was independently wealthy. Patrick was. Leo at this point is too. But Patrick O'Connor was independently wealthy. He had a good job.
So I'm sure she was like, cha-ching.
Oh, la, la. Yeah. What this old man, you know, lacked in everything else he, like, made up for in money. He also, like, was not. So while he was well-adjusted in life, he swindled a lot of people out of money. So he was a money lender as well as, like, he was a customs officer, but he was also, the way he made most of his money.
That's greasy.
Yes. He was a money lender, and he would charge high interest and regularly just swindle people out of money and secured
like
his own fortune.
Order. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So he was, like, that doesn't make this story any better or worse, knowing that about him, but, you know, it is what it is.
Facts is facts.
He was not the greatest person. He was immediately attracted to Marie, and Marie was immediately attracted to that moolah. So they liked each other a lot for varying reasons. She also likes that he likes her. So,
sure.
Like, who doesn't,
sure.
Right? Even if he's kind of an old creep, you're also like, I still got
it.
You
dig being liked.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I'm not a total spinster yet. He was also a heavy drinker.
Okay.
Lots of pros and
you'll
cons.
Have that. You'll have that.
If she wants the money enough, it's not.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So at the time, okay, this is not not too far before, but like during the same time, Marie was in a relationship with a railway guard named Frederick Manning.
Oh, Frederick.
He was her age. Well, listen, he had a weaker personality. He had a checkered past.
He didn't have that money, honey.
He promised her. He was the type that was like, I'm going to make money. I'm going to be so rich. And I'm going to take care of you for the rest of your life. And she's like, that's super cute. And until she meets Patrick. And then she's
who
like.
Who has the money now?
Yeah. She's like, well. So some sources, just to dive just a briefly into Frederick's background. He was a former railway guard, according to some sources. This, I could not corroborate this through all of them. Some of them said he was actively still working on the railway.
Okay.
Others were like, he is a former railway guard who was discharged on suspicion of being involved in some robberies. I couldn't confirm that. Only a couple of sources said it. This was Frederick Manning. Okay. Yeah, the young 25-year-old buddy.
So he might have had a checkered past.
Yeah, I mean, all of them said he has a checkered past. Only like two sources that I could find specify he was fired for because he was involved in robberies. They suspected he was involved in robberies. Again, I couldn't confirm this. If it is true, that kind of on the surface makes him less appealing, one would assume, as an option for Marie.
Sure.
So she's torn. Who's going to be the better husband, the rich man or like the younger guy
the
that you actually
may
or
may not commit crimes?
Well, they're both sketchy. You know,
his were white collar. Patrick's were white collar crimes.
Yeah, they were. They were. Frederick was like the poor kind of criminal.
Yeah, petty crimes.
Petty theft. So she really, again, she really loved the way she was living, but she actually genuinely did like Frederick better. So she ultimately chooses Frederick Manning, which to me,
Patrick,
Frederick Manning, the poor one.
The young one.
She marries. I know. Plot twist. She doesn't marry the rich man. Patrick is not out of the story yet, though. But yes, that's shocked me, too. I was like, wait a minute.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
There was no, like,
I mean,
no
if you think about it, a 25-year age difference is a lot.
It's a lot. But this is also, like, the 1840s. So, like, part of me was like, would that have mattered? I think, and this is not confirmed, this is my speculation. Oh, I didn't do our normal disclaimer at the beginning. We don't know what we're talking about when we say our opinions. We're just saying them.
We don't know anything.
We're not professional anything. But
we just have a lot of strong
opinions. We have strong opinions, right or
and
wrong.
We're not afraid to share them.
It's true. So I think based on her actions, she actually did have like a genuine relationship with Frederick and had feelings for Frederick.
So like the L word.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think. I think she was genuinely torn because she does like the life she's living.
Yeah.
And she knew choosing Frederick, it would not go that direction.
Yeah.
Like, if they started having kids, she would have to leave her job because that was standard, too, for working in rich households.
Yeah.
And she'd be, quote unquote, stuck with the guy she loves rather than living comfortably. So she unexpectedly
chose love.
Yeah.
She chose with her heart.
She did. So the two of them got married in 1847. And they moved into Miniver Place in London. Sadly, though, it didn't take long for Marie to look back at her decision and be like, why?
I funked up.
Why did I do this? Frederick was not making the money he promised. All of us saw that coming.
Well,
all
yeah.
of this, and she probably.
I'm sure he had a lot of dreams.
Yeah,
it,
he sounds like a dreamer who just doesn't have enough direction to follow through, which is unfortunate. A lot of 25-year-olds are like that.
Yeah.
Women and men, honestly. But
your brain is like just developing fully. Like you're still a baby.
You're but a babe. Yeah. You don't. Most people, I don't think I've known any 25-year-olds who like solidly have a plan for their life.
I think they're still.
I mean, I'm 29 and I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing with my life.
I'm 35 and I'm just.
We're like, I don't know.
I'm just rambling like a tumbleweed through this life.
We're making all this up as we go.
We're doing our best.
So she was kind of like, okay, well, he's more of a dud than I thought. That's a regret I now have. And Patrick O'Connor is still over there and already rich and still likes her. So why didn't she choose him? Yeah, I don't know. She's questioning everything about her current life situation. So what she decides to do is instead of like beating herself up over this, she just goes ahead and has an affair with Patrick instead.
Oh yeah, you know.
Because, you know, this is the kind of woman we've decided Marie is. So, fast forward again to 1849. Marie and Frederick invited Patrick to dine with them in their London home. Why would
Frederick know the background there?
Now, that's a great question. Why would he invite his wife's lover to dinner in his own home?
Fascinating.
Well, I'll tell you, Marie and Frederick had a plan to make all of their money dreams come true. They're going to murder Patrick O'Connor.
Yikes.
I know. This escalated so fast.
Yeah,
this isn't just I'm going to have an affair with him on the side and get money.
Okay.
This is me and my true love are going to problem solve.
I gotcha.
And we're going to utilize my already stupid relationship with Patrick and make it work to our advantage.
Okay.
So this is what happens. Patrick accepts this invitation.
Poor Patrick.
Why does he do that? I don't know. He's an idiot. He comes to the Manning home for dinner. Unexpectedly, this is kind of funny. Unexpectedly, he brings a friend with him.
Oh, no.
Marie and Frederick are like,
shit.
First of all, rude. They just invite a friend over to someone else's house without asking them. But also, our entire plan is ruined. Can't kill him with a witness. Like, that just screws everything up.
Gotta kill the other guy, too.
Right. That gets messy. So they're like, okay, that is okay. We will have a regular dinner with Patrick and his buddy.
Just pretend everything's cool.
It's fine. And at the end, they invite him to dinner the next evening, too. They're like, this was so much fun, Patrick.
But you leave your friend at home.
Yes. They said, this is what they said. Please don't bring anyone else so that we can have more intimate conversations.
I'm going to need you to leave your friend
back. First of all, what? Yeah, they're like, okay.
Wild.
I would feel pretty weird about being told I want to have more intimate conversations with you and my husband.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Like, what? I mean, I don't know what kind of marriage they
Patrick
have.
Patrick probably feels kind of weird because, like, they're having
he's having an affair with Marie. Yeah.
And, like, that's the yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't know how, like, interesting and colorful this marriage is. Like, I don't know what Patrick's thinking at this point, but he apparently doesn't think it's weird because he accepts the invitation.
Fascinating.
He's like, oh, no big deal. I'll just leave I won't invite my friend next time.
This one is a twisty one.
This is a weird one. Yeah. It gets weirder.
Okay.
So, again, we need to have intimate conversations. Don't bring a friend. He says, yes, of course. So the next time he comes for dinner, he doesn't bring a guest, as requested. He arrives. They chat. They get comfortable. Marie says, Patrick, why don't you go wash your hands before dinner?
It's a code word.
It's a code word for murder him.
Yeah, she doesn't mean that.
Go wash your hands before dinner. This seems normal, kind of, because yeah, it's good manners and hygienic to wash your hands. Do you wash your hands before?
I wash my hands obsessively.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. Like, when I read that, I was like, oh, that does make sense. But I don't know if I do that every time I'm about to eat a meal.
Before I unload the dishwasher, after I unload the dishwasher. Sometimes before I use the bathroom.
Before the bathroom?
Listen, that's probably, that's probably diagnosable.
I think you might have a problem.
No, it's okay.
But
weirdly, Biscuit's the same way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
I don't think, I'm hygienic. I'm not disgusting. So I wash my hands when I definitely need to, at the bathroom. I think I do when I do the dishes too, before and after, just to get the stuff off my hands.
Sure.
I don't like the texture of soap.
Ugh.
Pretty gross.
I use gloves when I do the dishes.
Oh, that's smart. See, I don't do that.
I just don't like touching mushy things.
That makes my sisters like that. So we usually, when the two of us are on kitchen duty, you probably have a touch of this. She has a touch of this ism. So what we usually, our normal arrangement when we have kitchen duty is she unloads the clean dishes because for whatever reason, I don't like doing that.
I understand.
But I will load it up, no problem, and touch gross food and rinse off stuff. I have no issue with that, but she does.
It is a delight unloading.
Because it's clean.
Because it's clean. Because
it's clean dishes.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think of it, washing your hands before unloading makes sense because you don't want to get them dirty.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. See, that's kind of stuff. If I paused and thought about it, I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't... when I'm at someone's house, too, I feel so uncomfortable already that I don't go the extra step to be like, where's your bathroom? Can I wash my hands?
Sure.
I don't think of that because I'm already in, I don't want to be here mode. Yeah. And I'm tired at any point during that social activity.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to go out of my way to wash my hands. But, it's not a weird thing to do.
We've digressed yet again.
This is the way that our brains are working today.
What we do.
It's okay. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. No one expects us to be
best. I saw a really funny meme that was like, I'm confused. I'm full of cheese. I don't know what to do. And I was like,
I know what week it is.
Yeah. Totally.
It's insane. It's insane. Okay, anyway, back to Patrick washing his hands. So he does just that. He turns around and he washes his hands. And what does Marie do? She shoots him in the back of the head with a pistol.
Dang. She's cold-blooded.
Ruthless. This cold-blooded. Woman. So at the beginning of the story, when she's like all kind of she does that part. She does that part.
Wild.
So she, when she, you're easing into her as a character, I'm talking like she's not a real person. She super is. But when you're like first hearing about her, like wanting to live the high life, your life, I don't blame her. That's comfortable. Okay. So she regrets who she married. Like that's okay. Whatever. And now you're like, that escalated. You are literally, like, you just execution.
You're a murderer.
In the back of the head.
Yeah, I mean, dang.
Back of the head. So, she shoots him. He falls to the ground. He's incapacitated for sure because there's a literal bullet in his head, but he's not dead yet.
Oh.
So, Marie's like, she's, like, really frustrated. She's like, I just shot him in the head.
I literally just shot him.
Why isn't he dead yet? And so Frederick, because he's got to solve all her problems, I guess, takes a crowbar and bashes this guy in his head to finish him off.
Oh, you should see my face.
This isn't funny. A man died. But it's almost,
damn,
it's excessive.
Yeah.
You could have shot him in the chest after you closed the door, front door. You didn't have to turn around so I don't have to look at your face. And then Frederick didn't have to be like, oh, of course, ma'am.
I'm just going to crowbar him.
Of course, honey. I'm just going to beat this man until his head's dented up.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gruesome.
It's incredibly gruesome. So you see why this is probably the couple that we just opened up with at being hanged.
They deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Oh, but there's more.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep it coming.
So this couple, the couple who murders together stays together.
That's right.
For a little bit.
Bonnie and Clyde.
For a bit. They carry his body into the kitchen. This part's kind of weird because I did not heavily dive into how kitchens were made in Victorian England. But apparently, they were able to pre-dig a grave beneath the flagstones, which are tiles, kitchen tiles.
Okay.
So it wasn't like... These days we have like concrete,
layers
before you get to dirt. They apparently did not.
Okay.
So it is what it is. Okay. I didn't become an expert overnight on that like I usually try to.
Yeah, no, but I understand.
You know what I mean? So they picked up the tiles in the kitchen, had a pre-dug grave, shoved his body in that grave, and then retiled it.
I mean, it is smart.
Very smart. Except the smell's probably at some point going to be a problem. But anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, they bury him. In their kitchen, wild. Under the kitchen tiles.
I mean, that is crazy. Like, just the thought of having, like, a dead person.
It's very, it's Edgar Allan Poe-esque.
Poe. That is, like, the story.
Yes.
Like, under the floorboards.
If his heart kept beating and haunted them.
It's at the same time, isn't it?
It is, roughly, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the next day.
I was not.
You're spiraling. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
This is crazy. I wanted to almost open this as like a quote unquote Christmas episode, but I super can't do that.
No, this is not holly nor jolly.
No, it is neither of those things. So the next day, Marie goes to Patrick's house and goes through all of his stuff. She takes everything that's valuable, jewelry, gold, money, share certificates, literally anything she can get her hands on.
I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
But she's a literal gold. She's like digging through all of his stuff. So she goes, and then the next day she goes back again, to make sure she didn't miss anything. Like, this chick is thorough. She is thorough.
She does
not want to miss a single piece of jewelry that this man has. So,
cold-blooded.
You think they're in the clear for a little while because this is Victorian England. And, like, we've talked about how these kind of time periods are, like, notoriously, like, you can obviously get away with a lot of stuff. The forensics are limited.
Yeah.
Chances are you're probably not going to be
found out. There's no DNA.
None of that. None of that. I mean, Lizzie Borden basically got off.
We had a magnifying glass.
And that was
a pipe.
And a hunch.
And a hunch.
I have a hunch that blood is gross. Clean it up. So a couple of days later, though, this was their mistake, is they didn't research their victim thoroughly enough because it turns out Patrick was very popular. He had a lot of friends.
Well, he had...
He was rich.
He was rich.
He was rich. And he was like a customs officer. So he worked on the docks a lot. And those guys that worked on the docks back, like, they were like bros.
Sure.
Like, if
sure.
he didn't show up for work.
I feel like the people that work on the docks today.
They're pretty tight-knit. You have to be tight-knit. Yeah,
for sure.
Because that's kind of not the safest job. So anyway, some of his friends stopped by the Manning house because they knew Patrick was going to go there for dinner the previous night. Or like 2 nights ago. Marie claimed that he ate dinner and then left. And they have no idea where he went. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So they leave her be.
Okay.
But now Marie and Frederick are so paranoid, understandably so, that these friends are going to... They actually
come
thought...
Come looking.
Come looking. But they also, for a second, thought that they were undercover detectives.
Oh.
They were like, oh, no, the police are already on to us. They weren't. They were just friends who were very persistent and continue to be persistent. But they were like, oh, my goodness, they've caught on to us. We have to do something. So... They do the only logical thing to do in that situation is they sold all of their belongings and left London.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, immediately.
It's not suspicious at
no,
all.
No. Immediately leaving is not in any way suspicious not after all. Committing a crime. So, here's the thing. I mean, I thought it was weird for a married couple, but maybe it's not if you're in the life of crime. But they did not run away together. So, Marie hopped a train to Scotland. Frederick... ran off to the island of Jersey, not New Jersey, like the original Jersey in England. Like,
that
it's a little island. So they went two totally different directions. Marie is so clearly the smarter one in this, like, this duo of hijinks and tomfoolery that she took the majority of the loot and he didn't even care or notice. She was like, okay, I'm going to take all this. You go to Jersey with, like, that little bag
good
or
luck.
Something. And she, like, scoots off to Scotland.
Wow. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. She made out like a bandit. Like a bandit. Okay, but it doesn't end there.
So they just didn't want to, like, live... Like, that is very
strange.
Isn't
that weird?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they were thinking, like, this is less suspicious, I guess.
So in this day and age, I would believe that.
Yeah.
Back then, when they can't even trace much to you anyway, like, I don't know. I didn't understand. I'm not married, but... If I were going to commit a heinous crime with my husband...
If we were going to crime together...
Wouldn't you run away together?
Oh, for sure.
You would just get new identities.
For sure.
And in the Victorian era, you could do that, like, in 2 seconds. You just call yourself a different name and move to Australia.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like... I don't know. This was a weird move, I thought.
Yeah.
It was a very weird move.
Totally agree.
I have moments throughout this story where I, like, am convinced that they do love each other. Because why else would she pick him? But then at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Is
maybe
he just
like,
a pawn?
Maybe she was like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I could convince this dude to murder with me.
He was clearly a weaker personality overall. So it would not be, it wouldn't be outside of reason to assume that.
This is a good one.
Oh, yeah. This is, and it gets, we're not even done. So Patrick, again, he was surprisingly connected. His colleagues were incredibly, like, there's no wonder that they thought that these guys were undercover detectives, because not only were they prying around and trying to find, like, trace his steps, where he went the day he went missing, but they also immediately report him missing to the authorities. Like, they don't waste time. They're like, okay, don't trust Marie and Frederick over there. Let's go talk to the cops.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
These are friends.
This is our,
this guy sounded like he was kind of trash, but he at least has good friends.
And maybe he wasn't so bad.
He was probably
nice to his friends. Yeah, that's true.
Just not to people he loaned money to.
Well.
But there were mobsters like that who opened, like, soup kitchens, and meanwhile,
listen,
they're loan sharks.
I love The Sopranos.
Oh my gosh.
But they do some bad
stuff. I want to do a mafia episode.
Please.
Stay tuned for that this... Well, it's not January. It's not January yet. Stay tuned for that
in
2024.
Coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Because I'm itching to do a mafia episode.
Please.
But this one reminded me of that, where I was like, oh, he sounds not great. But then he has friends that are incredibly loyal to him. Maybe he was in a gang and they just didn't confirm that and put it in this information that
like
I found.
The little Peaky Blinders gang.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so cute. I say so cute.
That'd be so cute.
Like, I'm
their
picturing Cillian Murphy, but they'd straight up murder people. It's fine. We don't have alarming taste in men. It's okay.
Yeah.
The police get involved. They do their due diligence. They pursue the Manning lead, just like his friends push for them to do. And they search their now empty house. The mortar. If anyone is, like, in construction, I should have asked my brother this before we even started recording. The mortar between the tiles in the kitchen is still wet, when the police come and look. Now, this has been a few days since they've done it. I don't know how long it takes mortar to dry.
I don't even know what that
England
is
also, it's the stuff right in between the tiles to stick them together.
Oh, okay.
So, like they're freshly poured.
Like, not caulk, but like...
It's similar. It serves the same purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, when they retiled the floor, the stuff in between each tile, that's still wet. Now, England is damp.
Suspicious.
And humid. So, like, I don't know how long it would have taken, like, if this was not a suspicious tiling of the kitchen floor, how long would it take a normal kitchen to dry? I don't know. But so if anyone knows, please tell us, or I'll text my brother right after this episode and ask him. He's in construction. Anyway, so the tiles were still kind of wet, and the police were like, that's a little sus. So they lift these tiles, and they find the beaten and bloody corpse of Patrick O'Connor under the floor. And they say, these darn Mannings.
We're getting them.
So this is one of those crimes that was, like, accurately investigated. Because
they did. Good job.
They did their
job. How many days was that?
This feels like it's just, like, within a week.
Wow.
Of him dying.
Yeah.
Like, this was not long.
Well done.
And it comes down to, well, the timing was perfect. It came down to friends who cared and checked up.
Yep.
Friends who reported
that
him
makes
missing.
All the difference.
And pressured
Your
the police.
Your circle makes all the difference.
It does. Tell people where you are.
For sure.
No, you're good.
The case of the guy that you hate.
The case of the Chris Watts?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
If it wasn't for Shanann's friend.
Yes. They would have never even noticed. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to cover that case this year, too.
Thank you for knowing what I would.
Oh,
I
knew.
Going.
You said the guy you hate.
The
I'm
guy
like,
hate
Chris
which one?
Watts. I hate so many of them, but I feel like I talk about them the most. Anyway. Okay. So, again, tell your friends where you are, because that the timing and the encouragement of interested parties is what got these police to the right place at the right time to find the actual body. I think in real life, as we just said with like Shanann, but anybody, this is also, I think, why true crime, there's such a passion behind it, because like if we're not pushing people to investigate, or if their family members aren't pushing people to investigate, sometimes this stuff just falls apart because there's
a
lack of...
And it becomes a cold case and people don't get found and it's, you know...
And I don't even think I blame the police fully for that because there's only so many of them.
It's true.
That's why they need family members and friends to
be
persistent.
They're so over...
They're understaffed. They're overrun with crime.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a thing. Yeah. It's just... it is what it is. So, be like Patrick's friends and harp on this kind of stuff. So, anyway... we've also mentioned the time period is ideal for killers. So if you have a good reputation and you have a lot of money, you can get away with like anything. And in this case,
similar to nowadays.
Yeah, it is. It's super. But also on the like that other side of that, if you kill someone with money, you're less likely to get away with it. So really, Patrick's boys had his back, and that's why the Mannings did not get away with this. Mm-hmm. Because he's wealthy enough to, like...
have a circle.
People notice when he's gone.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
This is why, like, homeless people don't get investigated. No one notices. And, No one notices.
Yeah.
Rich people all the time.
Prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what serial
notices.
Exactly.
That's why Jack
Which
the
Ripper... awful.
This exact time period, this is why Jack the Ripper was killing hookers.
Yep.
Because he didn't... He deliberately did not go after rich people.
Yes.
Because they're obviously going to be noticed way faster.
And found.
Yeah. And time is of the essence. So... Anyway, okay, so the police found the carriage driver, 1849. I'm assuming it's a carriage driver, right?
Yeah.
When did they have cars? I feel like that was like early 1900s. So, okay, so it was probably a carriage driver. But it was basically a taxi who drove Marie to the station when she fled for Scotland. He gave this carriage driver gave an accurate description of her and explained that she had two trunks with her because she took most of the money. They then learned what ticket she bought, where she was heading. They ended up arresting her as she was actively trying to sell some of the loot, specifically railway stocks. The Edinburgh stockbrokers suspected she was trying to sell stolen stocks because she had a French accent. Remember, she's from like Switzerland. She's not an English woman. So this French woman is trying to sell them like English railway stuff. They're like, you're fake. She really should have had Frederick with her trying to sell them instead. That would have been a much less suspicious. See, there's pros and cons to like.
I am telling you right now.
He is not real. So, okay. So she's arrested and brought back to London. It took another week to track down Frederick. A man on the island of Jersey spotted him and recognized him from the newspapers as a murderer, which is a fun thing to me. Back then,
sure.
Like these days, you see, and the news travels so fast. Like on Instagram posts will tell you what he looks like in 2 seconds. Like,
oh, for sure.
It's so fast. And back then, it took a little while. This only took like probably 2 weeks after the actual murder, 2-3 weeks.
Pretty impressive.
It is. The timing is like outstanding for this entire case. But they found a newspaper article with an accurate sketch of Frederick Manning, and all the way in the island of Jersey, a man was like, oh, hey,
wait a second.
That's you. So he was apprehended, and he like immediately spilled the beans. He like,
this
so,
guy is not a criminal.
He folded so fast. He was like, Marie shot him. Marie shot him in the back of the head. And he like, so he quickly confessed to the depth of his own involvement too, though, immediately after ratting out Marie as the like mastermind who did the worst part, because he says, quote, I never liked him, so I battered his head with a ripping chisel, end quote. It's just a matter of fact. So Marie is most guilty because she shot
him.
But
I didn't like the guy.
And I didn't like the guy, so I beat him in the head. And there's that. So.
Crazy.
Right? So the motives get only a tad muddy, because Marie's motives are pretty clear. She was greedy. Mm-hmm. She wanted money. She was fine doing sexual favors for Patrick, but there was like no genuine emotion there. She just wanted money. There was no.
She's like sociopath.
She is. Yeah. She was strictly. It was not emotionally motivated at all. Frederick, however, is unclear. All he really says is he never liked him. So he could have had financial motivations and conspired with Marie, or this is also opposed. Scenario, he saw Marie shoot Patrick and decided to finish him off because of jealous rage, because he knew they were having an affair. Now, that version kind of makes it sound like he was not conspiring and that he was totally okay having this guy over for dinner not once but twice. Mm. I don't know if I believe that one.
No.
I feel like she would have.
I think she was the.
I think she talked him into it pretty easily. Yeah. But it's tough to like confirm.
Sure.
It was confirmed.
Well, and all the people that were around are not around anymore.
Exactly. There's no one to say otherwise. It was confirmed that Marie purchased the quicklime and the shovel that they used to bury Patrick and, like, re-tile the kitchen floor. So, like, that was confirmed. Because she's the only one outside of this the actual doing of the crime that was spotted leading up to it, doing fishy things like buying stuff, it's plausible that it was all her own idea and he just hopped in and joined because he hated the guy. Mm. But either way, Frederick is also considered guilty. And the two of them were set for execution. Between 30 and 50,000 people were in attendance. That's bonkers. That's bonkers.
It's like a stadium show.
The police were on hand to manage the crowds. This open space that was outside of this like gallows area was completely filled. People sold snacks. It was like they were at a football game. Like, no joke.
That is so crazy.
Yeah. Marie Manning was the 20th woman to be put to death in England. I actually looked that up because I was like, this seems kind of early.
Sure.
I don't remember when they started putting women to death in England, but she's the 20th. So apparently it had been happening for a little while. She requested to be blindfolded for the hanging so she could hide her face from the crowd.
Interesting.
Very interesting. It's claimed but not confirmed that she kissed Frederick before the execution. I feel like if Hollywood ever made this a movie, they would definitely throw that in.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it was real
or
not.
And they would say something crazy to each other, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Their actual death is estimated at being 5 to 15 minutes after they fell. So they didn't die immediately when they were hanged, which is gross. But considering what they did to Patrick, it's probably well-deserved.
Hanging would not be my...
I would not love that.
I know.
Mm-mm. I also wouldn't love being shot in the head and beaten and stored under someone's kitchen tiles. As I said before, Charles Dickens was in the audience. He ended up basing a character on Marie and her story, Mademoiselle Hortense, Lady Dedlock's maid, in his novel Bleak House.
Wow!
So if anyone has read Bleak House or seen the movie, there's been like several movies because it's Dickens. Mademoiselle Hortense. About the execution, Dickens says in a letter he wrote to the newspaper, quote, I was a witness of the execution at Horsemonger Lane this morning. I believe that the sight is so inconceivably awful as the wickedness and levity of the crowd collected at that execution this morning. Well, he was there, though.
Yeah.
He was one of them. Collected, you're one of them. But that's fine. When the two miserable creatures who attracted all this ghastly sight about them were turned quivering into the air, there was no more emotion, no more pity, no more thought that two immortal souls had gone to judgment than if the name of Christ had never been heard in this world. So it was clearly like a profound experience for him.
I mean, I imagine.
Seeing such a grotesque crime come to a conclusion.
Sure.
It's crazy. Yeah. I think at that point I would have gone. I would have been one of the masses.
I mean, I feel like that's something that would like haunt you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I like being traumatized, I guess. Because, well, like, I watch...
We seek it out.
We seek it out. We're like, please, show us horrible things. The first time a married couple... This is the conclusion. I just have some fun facts. It was the first time a married couple had been executed together in England since the year 1700. So they made history that day. Good for them. For the Victorian era, it was particularly compelling to see a case with such sexual intrigue and led by a dominant female figure.
Well, I'm sure that's why part of the crowd size was a big case.
This, like, seductress got her husband to help her kill her lover. Yeah. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. It was unique, and it was referenced in fiction by name multiple times. Like, Charles Dickens based a character on her, sure, but other books that were published around that time referenced this case by name.
Yeah.
The fact that Marie was from Switzerland and not England was actually a huge relief to a lot of people. They didn't want the
English woman.
They didn't want the English people sullied like that, which is kind of silly considering they like have their full share of psychos. Like they didn't. Why are you protecting your reputation? It's a wasted effort at this point. Marie is featured in Madame Tussauds Chamber of Horrors.
Oh, wow. She's got a wax figure?
She has a wax figure. Her death clothes were recorded and everything, so her image is the most used. She wore a black satin dress and a veil, which immediately went out of fashion for the next three decades as a result of her wearing it.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this is also like, okay, it's the Victorian era, and if you recall, if anyone recalls, Queen Victoria kind of like embodied the grieving period and wore black.
Sure.
For the rest of her life, she painted all of the like the white fences?
Yeah.
Fences outside of like townhouses and stuff.
She painted
all those black. Like she like really loved.
She's like super goth.
Yeah, she went super goth after Albert died. Like it was like a massive, like she insisted that the country grieve with her basically. Aww. So it's interesting to me that like she started that whole thing
like trend
and then it just took Marie Manning wearing something similar to an execution
and everyone was like I'm gonna throw on my black dress.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear color again. We're done mourning Albert. I'm so sorry.
Fascinating.
Yeah, actually let me do a quick goog and see when Albert died.
Yeah, when was that?
When did King Albert, maybe this is even before, when did he die? No, not that one. He died. Oh, 1861. He wasn't dead yet.
Okay. Okay.
That's probably why. Okay. So only she brought the trend back after Marie.
Gotcha.
And everyone else was like, you do you, Victoria. We're going to wear regular clothes.
Bit scared, yeah. Because
she's weird. Yeah. So that's the case of Marie Manning.
That was a wild one.
Wild ride.
Dang.
That I don't think I would, if you've heard of this case, tell me, because I hadn't.
I hadn't heard
of this case at all.
That's a good one.
I don't even know where I found it. Oh, I do. I do. I was morbidly curious about one of Dickens' other books, and I was like, did he base any of this on a real person? And then it told me no. And then it showed me Bleak House and was like, but this lady's based on a murderer.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, very, very, very good.
You ready for a treat?
Let's do it.
All right. I've got something festive because, you know, we're still in the holiday season /spirit.
It's basically Christmas until New Year's.
So we've got some M&Ms.
Ooh.
But they're holiday. Ooh, I smell them. They're mint M&Ms. So
let me take a brief picture in case I decide.
You can't go wrong with M&Ms.
It's true. I don't know if there's a flavor of M&M I don't like.
I love the, have you had the peanut butter?
Yes. Oh, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever had these.
I don't think I have either. Ready?
Yep.
And go.
Let's do it.
That mint hits me in the face immediately.
Yeah, it's hard. It's good though. I'm a mint. I like mint.
You like, mint and chocolate? I like mint and chocolate separately. I don't always like mint and chocolate together. Like yeah, the ice cream, I don't really care for the ice cream flavor. This is good though.
I do like this.
I think it's because it's crunchy. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's an M&M.
It is good.
Very good. 4 or 5 skulls.
I'm gonna do 4.
Yeah.
And a little festive M&M.
Aw, yeah.
Like a little M&M with a Santa hat.
Like a green one with a Santa hat.
Yeah, like on the bag.
I love that. I'm gonna find a graphic of that and post that. I don't think there should be M&M emojis, but there are not M&M emojis. Could you imagine if they had M&M holiday emojis and had each of them in a holiday hat? Someone call M&M.
They have enough money for that.
What company owns them?
Is it Mars?
Oh, even. Yeah. Call Mars. I'm gonna call Mars up and be like, hey guys.
I do love a good old fashioned M&M.
Collab with all of the phone companies.
I do enjoy the rapper M&M.
The rapper M&M. Oh. I also enjoy the rapper M&M.
Slim Shady.
Yeah,
that M&M's was are great all around.
I was like, what do you mean? The rapper? Like this right here? No, the rapper. Like rap star. Yeah. Got you. Well, this was a good episode. Mm-hmm.
We've done it.
Hopefully we didn't melt your brains too much for this
week.
Yeah,
we went on a lot of tangents.
We did, but we came back around and finished the story. That's the important part. Well, if you like this episode, do what you do best. Share, like,
subscribe.
Rate us if you haven't already rated us. Leave us a review.
Dude, you know what is so cool?
What?
Is, like, we've had, I don't know, a handful of reviews, and we've only had 5 stars. And I don't...
That's insane.
My self-esteem...
So high right now.
Dude.
Skyrocket.
Like, you guys like us?
You guys like us? We're not so obnoxious?
I know.
There's always, on every podcast...
They're definitely going to think I'm annoying.
On every podcast that I listen to, I read the reviews, and there's at least a minimum of, like, 3 reviews that say someone's voice is annoying.
That's what I'm saying.
And no, I haven't seen any.
You guys are angels.
You really are. We don't deserve
sweet
you.
Sweet angels, and we adore you. And thanks for hanging out with us.
Seriously. And we will see you next time.
Oh, and if you want, wait, before.
Before you see us next time.
Before you see us next time, I think we have a merch.
Oh, it ends this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a sale, but it's all of our, like, holiday theme. So we'll post a picture of Mindy in her Boone.
Oh, it's so
Boone
cute.
Miss shirt.
It's my new favorite shirt.
It's adorable.
It's so
it looks
cute.
So comfy,
it,
too.
It is super comfy. I got a size up. Oh, man. It's
so
good.
Comfy. There's, like, a really cute blanket, like a gingerbread cookie.
I love that blanket.
So cute. We're going to push these next holiday season, too, so it's not going to be the last time you see them, but they are only available until January.
So if you want to use your Christmas money.
Oh, wait. Actually, I think it's available till January 31st, so you have another month.
Okay, cool.
But I would hop on that.
We got some cute stuff.
We do, yeah. Shirts, hoodies, blankets, all the stuff. So support us while you can for that merch, at least. We're going to have so much more in 2024. I'm super excited for the 2024 designs.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Okay, so now for real, we'll see you guys next time.
Okay, bye.